Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Eyes on the Right podcast. I am your host, Amy, and we are here for another podcast to talk about what I want to say is a part two to the eclipse that I did tying in Beyonce in Texas. There's been so much more that's been happening in the news, and it's a lot. It's a lot to wrap your mind around. I want to talk about also a fear, what fear does for us, how it can be a motivator to change. And I want to tie in all of the recent happenings along with what I talked about in the Texas Eclipse podcast a couple back. So if you haven't listened to that, go back, listen to that, because I'm going to be doing a recap of that, but just touching on things lightly. But there's so much going on, you guys. I have been traveling, I've been away, and I'm finally back home. I'm so excited to be back in my office. It's so nice to look out and have such a wonderful view to podcast with you guys with. So I just hope that you all are doing well. And I just want to thank you for listening, for donating to the podcast, for being so faithful and sharing this podcast out. And I'm just very humbled that you would tune in and listen every week to what we have to say and what we're talking about to try to navigate this world in a different way. And I just pray that this brings you hope and truth and a new perspective that perhaps might be missing online. I know there are so many people talking about this stuff right now. It seems like everywhere you turn, the buzz is the eclipse and the happenings of the world. And while that can be really interesting, we have to keep that balance, right? That sweet spot that I always say with the Lord, and really try to navigate this world in a way that we aren't living out of fear. We're not living in a way that we're paranoid and everything's a psyop and everything's this and that. We got to look at it and use our discernment and our wisdom to perceive what it is that God is trying to show us. Not everything is a psyop. Not everything is a distraction, but a lot of it is. So how can we unpack this today to try to look at the world in a different way, a neutral perspective, a way of motivated to change if we need to, motivated to step back and maybe not be so involved with the rabbit holes and the truther and the conspiracy stuff out there. Maybe we need to hone back on that. Maybe we need to find a neutral balance that, you know, the Lord is calling us to, and everybody is different. So let's take a neutral approach as we kind of look at this today. But I would like to start with scripture, Genesis 1:14, and start us off with the idea of what the sun and the moon and stars are for. Why do I want to do this? Because when we build off the foundation of God's word, which is truth, then we can start to understand and perceive some of these signs of the day and know what they're for. I mean, God has always used the sun and the moon and the stars, literal sun, moon, and stars, to show signs, to show, to mark seasons and days. And so in Genesis 1:14, it says this: "Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years." And so God has always used the lights in the firmament. The Bible says that the sun is a light, the moon is a light, and the stars are lights, and they are used to tell us something about God and his creation. He uses his creation to speak to us. And even in Luke 21:25-28, it says, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh." And so when we look at these things and we look at them in context of how God has always used his creation, he's always used it to share his power, to share signs, to share something about what he wants to tell mankind. And so because God created them, he can then use them to share with humanity what he wants to tell them. So when you look at that word oath in the Hebrew, it's a sign, which can also mean a signal, a banner, a remembrance, an omen, or a warning. And so when we look at Genesis 1:14 and we see that the sun, the moon, and the stars are used for signs, which is oath, it can be a warning. It can be an omen. And this, again, isn't to make you fearful, but as we're going to talk about a little bit later, fear can be such a great catalyst to move us into a direction where we need to be. And I'm going to share with you guys a couple of stories just to give you an idea of what that looks like. But when we go back to Genesis 1:14 and we think about the signs and the seasons, and we think about this solar eclipse potentially being a omen or a warning, I think there's a lot of validity to that. And we should be sensitive to that as people that are kind of looking at these things and trying to decipher what's going on. Now, when we look at this stuff, it behooves us to look back in history, because there's a lot of history that I want to go over today that ties in this idea of not only the eclipse, but also earthquakes and also a comet. There's the Devil's Comet is coming up, and it is going to be associated with this total solar eclipse coming on April 8th. And there's a historical monumental happening that ties back to a similar time in the 1800s. So we're going to go over that because you guys aren't going to want to miss this. It's really interesting. So I'm going to read from this article what it says about the time in the 1800s when this X pattern was created over America. And so it says this from coffeeandcovid.com. That said, it is unusual to have two total eclipses within a few years of each other crossing the United States in an X pattern. The last time it happened, possibly the only other time, it was two eclipses 5 years apart, the first flying over in June 1806, and the second passing overhead in September 1811. They intersected near Cleveland. Okay, let's keep reading. Then 3 months after the second eclipse closed the X in 1811 came another unique historical event. Don't miss this, guys. A five-month of 2,000 of the most devastating earthquakes in U.S. history. It really shook things up. According to the City of New Madrid, Missouri website, in record history of the entire world, no other earthquakes have lasted so long or produced so much evidence of damage as did the New Madrid earthquakes. Okay, so this is crazy because the X pattern created in the 1800s was 5 years apart. This X pattern here that's happening that happened in 2017 and now in 2024, also making the X over the United States, was 7 years apart. And we talked about how in the last podcast I did, we talked about how it went over the first time over the Salems, and then the second time it went over the Ninevehs. And we touched on the 40 days of repentance that Jonah preached to the Ninevites and what that looked like. It was God's idea of warning the people to repent and turn back to him from their evil ways. And he gave them grace and mercy of a 40-day period. And we understand that in the Bible, these numbers are very specific, not in a gematria mystic way, but in a way that it's God's numbers. God created everything. And so, of course, the enemy will take that and make that mystic and magical and try to use numbers to kind of decipher what's going to happen in the world. And it's a twisting of what God's natural order is. And so when we look at seven is very important biblically. Seven is the number of completion. On day seven, God rested, right? We have that idea. The number five means grace. And so the first time this happened in the 1800s, there was a five-year separation of the eclipses across the United States to make the X. And so we look at five. Five is the number of grace. We know there's five books of Moses, also called the Pentateuch or the Torah. And the number 40, which is significant in the story of Jonah and Nineveh, 40 is this idea of testing, right? It's a testing time. It's a time of rebirth and growth and newness. And so we look at 40. 40 is very significant in the Bible as well. And so it's really interesting as we kind of tie this stuff together and we look at this old eclipse that happened and the subsequent earthquakes that happened is really very interesting. So let me continue on about these New Madrid earthquakes, because they were so profound in this time that it was the biggest, like I said, in recorded history of the entire world. No other earthquakes have lasted so long. So continuing reading, it says they occurred along something called the New Madrid seismic fault line, hence the city's interest, which happens to be located right around where the 2017-24 eclipses will intersect on Monday. That's the first coincidence connecting the two pairs of the eclipses. Okay, so we've got these earthquakes happening. And as of today, which is, I have to look at my calendar, it's April 5th, we had a earthquake in New Jersey and New York, and it was felt in Maryland as well. My daughter texted me and she said she felt an earthquake. She's in Maryland right now. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's interesting, you guys. It doesn't mean the apocalypse is coming necessarily. It just is something to be aware of. And I think we would be remiss if, as believers, we just kind of brush this aside like it wasn't a big deal. Now, we know on the flip side that there is such thing as HARP. There are weather manipulating things. We know that they can control the weather, the so-called elitists. We know that they have the technology to create earthquakes. I really do believe that. And there is evidence to support that. But God is still in control. And when we look at these things, before we move on, God does allow the enemy some power, some limited power. And when we look back in the book of Exodus and we study when Pharaoh and his consorts, the magicians, the warlocks, they were able to go toe-to-toe with Moses and Aaron in their signs and wonders, so to speak. But there was a limited time that they could do that. They could only produce, I believe, two or three of the things that Moses and Aaron could do. And after that, their power ceased. And they declared to Pharaoh, this really is the hand of God, the Elohim, Yahweh, the creator, the true one God. And so even the warlocks and magicians' power was limited. In fact, they could only turn water into blood. They couldn't turn blood back into water. And so they could only replicate what Moses and Aaron had already done. And so why am I sharing this story? Because it's important to know that yes, while Satan and these occultists and these people in the world do have some limited power because of what they're tapping into in the dark arts, God is still in control. He is still on the throne. He is allowing some of this to be produced. And I believe it's because he wants people to change. He wants people to have that godly fear and that godly sorrow that leads to repentance. And sometimes, let's face it, guys, we're hard-headed. We live comfortably and it doesn't invoke us or produce change in us. And when we live in this state of comfortability, we are less likely to change because we're in this homeostasis where everything's great. But when things start getting shaken up and rattled, like I believe they're doing right now, people start seeking God more. They start looking to him. They start turning to the Bible and saying, hey, maybe some of this stuff is real. And so as we look at this, don't look at fear as if it's necessarily a bad thing. The Bible does say over 360 times, do not fear. However, it also talks about godly fear, and that godly fear can pull you up and snatch you up out of the fire. So let's keep going on. In this article, it says, even more eerily, the 1811 earthquakes and the 1811 eclipse were preceded by the appearance of a great comet visible around the world. And what do you know? The 2024 eclipse is also preceded by the appearance of a great comet visible around the world, a great comet the media called the Devil's Comet. All right, let's read a little bit about this. So this comet is apparently also called the Mother of Dragons, Devil Comet. And the reason why it's called the Devil Comet is because it has a distinct horned appearance. Creepy, right? Moving on with this comet, it says that it is going to orbit the sun, and it hasn't done this in 71 years. And so now it's kind of coming out of the woods. It's making its appearance on the day of the eclipse. And so this is worth noting because as we start to compare this to the 1811 happenstances, we see another commonality. And so we're tying these things in because I think it's really, really interesting. Another noted point is that the comet, this Mother of Dragons comet or the Devil's Comet, is green. And so that's another connection between the 1811 and 2024 eclipses. So looking at this stuff, it's really interesting. We can't help but note that there's some very interesting tie-ins here. Going back to the earthquakes on the Madrid fault line, I want to read this to you because it's pretty fascinating. So from December 16th, 1811 through March 1812, there were over 2,000 earthquakes in the central Midwest and between 6 to 10,000 earthquakes in Missouri, where New Madrid is located. And this is near the junction of Ohio and Mississippi rivers. Now, the biggest quake to ever hit America took place during this time in 1811. It was a 7.7 on the Richter scale near the epicenter at New Madrid. Now get this, this is not far from where the X coming up on April 8th is going to take place. It was so strong, this quake on December 1811, that the Mississippi River actually ran backwards for several hours. So this is crazy. The correlations here are really, really fascinating. And there's even more to this. In fact, I found another article that talks a little bit more. And it says, the eclipse was so widely anticipated that even Thomas Jefferson wrote about it. And so 3 months approximately after this eclipse of 1811 that completed this giant X that is going to take place as well on April 8th, the New Madrid fault line went crazy. And to this day, we have never seen earthquakes of such destructive power in the continental U.S. The New Madrid earthquakes, and I'm reading from a mycharisma.com, it says the New Madrid earthquakes were the biggest earthquakes in American history. They occurred in the central Mississippi Valley, but were felt as far away as New York, Boston, Montreal, and Washington, D.C. President James Madison and his wife Dolly felt them in the White House. Church bells rang in Boston. Church bells rang, you guys, from these earthquakes. From December 16th, 1811 through March of 1812, there were over 2,000 earthquakes. Okay, I read that. And in the known history of the world, there's no other earthquakes that have lasted so long or produced so much evidence of damage as the New Madrid earthquakes. Three of the quakes are on the list of America's top earthquakes. The first one on December 16th was an 8.1. The second on January 23rd was a 7.8. And the third on February 7th was an 8.8 magnitude. So you can read this on the USGS as well. And at one point, the geography of the region became so distorted by seismic activity, this article says, that the Mississippi River flowed backwards, just like I said. And this is fascinating, you guys. It goes on to say that in the New Madrid region, the earthquakes dramatically also affected the landscape. They caused bank failures along the Mississippi, landslides, uplift, subsidence of large tracts of land. I mean, it was totally a phenomena that just kind of blew up the area. And it says in a distance of nearly 50 miles of where the epicenters were. And so they opened up enormous fissures in the ground. And I just think it's really interesting when you tie in the comet as well, because this comet, which was also called Tecumseh's comet, Tecumseh was a Native American who was kind of like a prophet, sort of, who would talk about, you know, fascinating correlations of earthquakes and comets and war. And he was a Shawnee warrior chief, and his brother and him would predict things like eclipses and comets. And so his name actually means shooting star. And he, and this comet that happened in 1811 was also known as Tecumseh's comet. And so when we look at this stuff, it's just, it's crazy. I mean, I keep saying that, but when we tie in all these things and you read these articles that talk about this, it's really nuts. A little bit more about this comet of 1811, Tecumseh's comet. It says the appearance of this great comet, according to AmericanQuilt.com, which was visible around the globe for 17 months, that and was its brightest during the earthquakes. Okay, these earthquakes. The comet has an orbit of 3,065 years, but get this, was last seen during the time of Ramses II in Egypt. So all these tie-ins to biblical stuff, there's tie-ins to Egypt. We even see this, you know, going through Little Egypt, the area there in the United States. And, you know, it's really crazy because we had an earthquake today in New Jersey, like I said, and it just makes you wonder, you know, is there something more to this? Is this a sign or an omen or a warning that God is trying to get our attention to become a catalyst to have us change? I don't know, but it's worth mentioning. And so does this tie into potentially the National Guard being along the lines of the path of totality? I was talking with a friend of mine in Bible study and we were exchanging emails and we were talking about these things and she brought up some noted points about Tecumseh's Comet and all of that. And it really got my mind thinking, you know, is this part of it? Of course, there's going to be an influx of people because this is an event that hasn't happened in such a long time and they're going to flock to these places where they can see it. But is there something more to this? And that's the question that I'm proposing to all of you listening. Is there something more? And is there a reason this National Guard is coming? Do they think there will be earthquakes? Do they think there will be, you know, threats of civil war? I don't know. This kind of all ties back into Texas. And if I can transition just for a minute, I talked a lot about the fires in Texas, the Eagles Pass immigration point at the border, the path of totality going through the majority of Texas, all of this stuff tying into Beyonce, which for those of you that are like, why are you bringing Beyonce up? Well, because the artists, celebrities, major notable people like the royals as well, we'll talk about Kate Middleton in a minute, they are used for propaganda and agenda. They will push out signs, symbols, art, music videos, trends to provoke in the subconscious of society to lend them towards an idea that is wanting to be perpetuated. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, look at Beyonce's new album, Cowboy Carter, which is CC, which is 33. Again, 33 ties into Freemasonry. It ties into the Illuminati. That's kind of their calling card number. That she had this new album coming out where she's riding on a horse, a white horse, where she's facing backwards. She has an American flag. There's a lot of rich symbolism there. When you look at the four horsemen of the apocalypse, you can kind of see a tie in there, as well as the idea of her kind of riding this awkward side saddle on this white horse. And she's facing backwards, almost like it's a returning back or a reversing. I don't know what that means necessarily. I'm just taking an educated guess here. But these people, these celebrities are in cahoots with the three-letter agencies and those, you know, in media and stuff to push out subconscious agendas to get the society and the people that follow them to have this kind of implanted in their head. She's been talking a lot about Texas. She's from Texas. So you have that link in. But again, there's a lot of emphasis on Texas right now. And when you tie that into the eclipse, to the chicken farms burning, to the bird flu, to the red heifers of this supposed temple that's supposed to be built, there's so many tie-ins to Texas that it just makes you wonder, is there a reason why they're emphasizing this in the media? And that's all I want you guys to take from it. Just be sensitive to it in the way that it's like, that's interesting. Okay, let me be aware of my surroundings so I can better understand what's potentially happening here. It's pattern recognition. It's priming the subconscious of the people to get them prepared for what they want next to happen. And this idea of priming and patterns, you see this, you can also call it predictive programming that they put in movies. They show you ahead of time what they're going to do. Some people call it the revelation of the method, where they're revealing their methods so that when it happens, they can say in their own conscience, we told them, they just didn't understand what we were saying. Okay. And I'm playing the side of the kind of occultists here, the people in charge of the world that run the world, so to speak, right? This is what I'm talking about here. Now, when you look at the tie-ins to Texas, you kind of get this imagery of the cowboy hats and, you know, the Southern charm. You get this idea of the South by looking at horses and cowboy hats and all of that. And I even noted on my Instagram page how so many of the celebrities were pushing out this cowboy hat trend. And to the unseeing eye, it would just be like, so what's the big deal? But when you start to understand that this is how they communicate through colors, signs, symbols, numbers, then you start to see it in a different light to be more aware of on the flip side of things. Okay. So looking back, we got the National Guard being called out. We've got the celebrities pushing these kind of subliminal messaging. Then we recently had this shipping barge plow into the Baltimore Bridge. Now, this Baltimore Bridge is a Francis Scott Key Bridge. It was named after him. And many people showed online that this, you know, there were so many weird things happening with this ship running into the bridge. But Francis Scott Key ties into America because he was the author or the writer of the Star Spangled Banner. And so is this kind of deeper imagery here of this kind of America falling? I don't know. America is the last standing source of freedom, according to our Constitution. America represents freedom in the world. And if there is to be a new world order, which many of these presidents and people have talked about, people have written books about, we know that there's going to be a one world system in the end days. Is America standing in the way of that? I would say yes. I would say it is. And America is imploding, guys. I mean, we look around and you would be have to be hiding under a rock to not see all the war and all the tribulation and all the, you know, the influx of crime and the squatting in the houses and the farms being burnt up, the chickens and the cattle. And I mean, they're hitting us from so many sides. You have the air being polluted and our food being polluted and, you know, this mass rush of the borders being open. I mean, you'd have to be naive to not see that we are not living in a time of peace. We aren't. It's a time of tribulation. It's a time of trials. There is a crumbling of the system that is happening to bring about this kind of false light, new awakening idea where we're going to turn, in my opinion, to a global leader and his consort, the false prophet, to rule this world. This is what the Bible tells us. And I take the stance that there is going to be a leader who is an actual physical person. I think that's something that we have to consider. And when you look at all the other symbolism, like I mentioned, there was a recent storm in New York and a photographer caught lightning striking the Statue of Liberty. Now, it's just a little ominous. That's all I'm saying. And the earthquakes and the tie-ins to the eclipse and all of these things can get you kind of spinning in your head. But stay with me. We have the Civil War movie coming out in April. We have, the CERN Collider, the CERN Hadron Collider is starting back up on the 8th. And that ties into the White Rabbit collaboration that they're doing, this influx of cicadas and the bird flu, pestilence, rumors of war, crazy things happening. And I just want us to understand that as we kind of shift gears and we move into this idea of fear and how fear can be used as a catalyst for change, if it's a godly fear, think about these things, you guys. May this be a wake-up call to you. May you turn and repent and come back to the Lord before it is too late. This is not a doomsday podcast. I'm gonna leave you all with hope. But at the same time, how much longer can you live in naivete? How much longer can you live just kind of haphazardly? This world is crumbling before our eyes as we see it. Everything that we used to know is no longer the same. It's changed. And so are you changing? Are you turning to a place where you're like, I want more than this world. I want to have eternal life. I want to know what that means. At least seek that out. At least seek it out. That's the least you can do, is call out to God and say, I want to know you. I want to know who you are. That's the point where we're at today. And I think our world is showing us this. We even have NASA, which is in the Hebrew, NASA, right, is this word to deceive. NASA is firing three rockets called Apep. Apep is an Egyptian god, a serpent god, that represents chaos and battle. They're shooting these three rockets into the eclipse on April 8th. Why are they doing that? It's just kind of dark magic, you know? They worship the creation. They, meaning occultists, Satanists, Luciferians, they worship creation. And so they will try to utilize what they think they can to thwart whatever God has coming. And it's always been this kind of battle. And so it's up to us to kind of discern and perceive the days ahead. It's just so strange how NASA has this Apep rocket and Apep serpent. Goes back to the garden, the serpent of old, right? The devil, the great dragon. And so you see this even if you aren't a believer, if you're listening right now and you're like, I'm not a Christian, I don't believe in the Bible, you've got to look at some of these things and say, that is weird. That's weird. Even if you look at NASA shooting three rockets called Apep, which means in the Egyptian, the serpent god of chaos and war. Is this a kickoff that they are trying to invoke a civil war, a revolution? I don't know. But it seems like they're trying to cause something to happen. And that's witchcraft. That's manifestation. And let's be honest, going back to the example of Jannes and Jambres, who were the magicians of Pharaoh back in the Exodus, they were allowed to have some power. But that doesn't mean that God is not in control. It doesn't mean that God doesn't allow that. God allows them to do that. Why? Because it works all things for good according to his purpose and his will. And so he allows these things to happen to wake people up because God is more concerned about your soul and your eternal resting place than your comfort. And many Americans are so afraid and so fearful of being uncomfortable and being put through the fire or a trial or a test that they're, you know, they want to be raptured out. They don't want to have to go through hard times. But guys, all throughout the Bible, tests and trials are a refining of who you are. They're a refining of your faith. They strengthen you. They cause you to turn to God. And like I said, God is more concerned about your soul and who you are and where you're going to spend eternity than he is about your temporary comfort in this physical world. And so as we look at fear, as we look at this idea of fear, how can fear be a catalyst for change? Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Why would we fear the Lord? Because this fear of God is this idea that he is our maker, and at any moment he can blow us away. He can give and he can take away. He gave the breath of life into Adam, and he can take that away as he pleases. He is our creator, but he is so merciful. He's so graceful. He is so forgiving. And there is that side of God. There, he is the lion and the lamb. And as we look at him in this way, it should give us a reverent fear. Have you ever been in a thunderstorm? Think back to a time where you were afraid. Perhaps you were in a thunderstorm or in a lightning storm, or it was raining and there, you know, you felt a fear, you felt a reverence or an awe of who God is and how powerful he is. That's the fear that we're talking about. The fear where Moses stood in front of the burning bush, the fear of the people, the Hebrews, the Israelites, as they stood at the base of the mountain, unable to touch that mountain because it was so holy. And God thundered with lightning and smoke and fire on the Mount Sinai. This is the fear that we're talking about. And this is why I believe in the end, he will use his creation again to bring about a fear to turn people to him. God is the same yesterday as he is today, as he will be tomorrow. He is the Alpha and the Omega, and he teaches us through his words, through his word, what he's going to do. And so this fear of the Lord is that idea. Isaiah 6:5 says, so I said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Woe is me. So it's this fear, right? This idea of knowing that God has this power. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Psalm 34:9, last one. Oh, fear the Lord, you saints. There is no want to those who fear him. So when you are in right natural order with God, there is a natural fear that you feel. There is a natural fear where you know that you are but a vapor. Your life is going to come and it's going to go. Psalm 42:3 says, many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. After we fall or fail, with God's forgiveness and grace, he makes us anew. We also see in Jude 1:17, I'm going to read this. It says, dear friends, remember what the apostle, our Lord Jesus Christ, foretold. They said to you, in the last times or the last days, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. They are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the spirit, which is the spirit of truth, which is God. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus to bring you eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Listen to this. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by the corrupted flesh. So again, here, you guys, it's this idea that fear causes us to change. And while we do not want to live in fear, there's over 300 verses, right, that say, do not fear. It's this godly fear that we're talking about. It's this godly fear that will snatch people up out of the fire. And sometimes we need to speak the hard truth so people change. Sometimes people need to see the signs in the sun and the moon and the stars to fall on their face and say, God is real. And this is what it's about. God has always used his creation to speak to his people, to mankind. He's always done that. And so as you think about this and as you wrestle with this, if you're feeling fearful and every time you come online, you're overwhelmed with this idea of fear, maybe you need to take a step back. Maybe you need to take a break from being online. And when you feel like you're coming into this place where you're a little more healed and a little more stable in your emotions, that you can look at some of this stuff, then come back. But for those of us that are looking at these things to try to understand the times, I often have people on my Instagram page say, this is just, they call it fear porn, or they call it, you know, pushing fear. I'm not pushing fear. I'm making people aware of what's going on. How you decide to perceive it and take it is on you. You have the choice to act in fear or to believe something is fearful or not. That has nothing to do with me. And so taking it into kind of a different direction, if you're feeling triggered by fear or by things that people are posting, that is a sign that you need to turn inward. You need to look at yourself and say, okay, God, is there an area in my life where maybe I have trauma from a childhood experience? I have anxiety from how I was raised. This is an indicator to you, if you're being triggered constantly, habitually by fear, that there's something deeper in you that needs to be healed. And when that gets healed, then you can look at the world with a different perspective. Then you can go back and you don't live in fear. I don't live in fear. I rest in Christ. He is my Sabbath. I don't worry about what's to come because I know that he is my truth. And there are times where I get nervous, I get scared, but I always take it back to God's word and his truth. And that's how I navigate this life. And I work with people all the time, my clients, people I counsel and coach. We talk through these things. Talk through these things with somebody. Talk through these things with someone that you trust and work through some of these deep things in your life that are causing you to fear, and use fear as a catalyst for change, good change, positive change, change that leads you into a closer walk with Christ. That's what it's all about, you guys. We can go down rabbit holes and rabbit trails all day long, but if we miss the word of God, if we miss his truth, which is the truth, we miss it all. And so I pray this sheds some light for you all today. I pray that you have hope moving forward. And I pray that if you do have fear, godly, reverent fear, that it is a catalyst to make you change and turn back to him. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next time.